Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 257, Sheriff's Boys Day Race. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's. They got some amazing Mayberry items over there. Head over there and check it out. They got the 2014 wall calendar, Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. You buy two and you get one free. Man, get it for Christmas and give it to somebody. Weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. Executive producer of Two Chairs No Waiting, number 257, Kenneth Junkin. Otis, our Otis impersonator. Oh, the name of the podcast tonight is Sheriff's Boys Day Race. And the reason Kenneth is the executive producer is not really because he gave me any donation or he's actually producing the show, but it's because he gave me some of the content we're going to be using this evening. So we're going to head over and hear the comments he had to make about the Sheriff's Boys Day race that he called me. Now, what he did is he called me on the phone and was giving me some information that he had noticed about some of the things he saw on the Sheriff's Boys Day. Now, if you remember, this was on a medal for Opie is the name of the episode, and you can go and check that out. If you go to mayberry.info, you can check a medal for Opie, and you'll be able to read a little bit of information about this. If you don't remember, you can go watch the episode yourself. But let's hear what Kenneth had to say, because he found something very, I think, unusual about this particular race. About the scene where the race actually occurs. So let's go on over there, and we'll hear what Ken's got to say.
The crowd's in the background, and Barney blows his whistle.
Yeah?
And when he blows his whistle, they show the bleachers in the crowd, and it is full. Well, it's just a couple of sections there, full of folks.
Yeah.
And then when they show the boys running up around Andy and Barney, there's a lot fewer people, you know, in the stands.
Yeah.
And I got to looking at that. There's 11 boys, including Opie, that are
running,
signed up.
Yeah.
Hey, they're all sitting on the bleachers in street clothes when you've already seen them out there getting ready to line up.
Really?
Close up of the crowd looking at the starting line, and I believe even Opie's sitting in there. I ain't sure, but they scattered them out through the crowd, and every one of them is sitting in the crowd in their street clothes. And, you know, it's just showed them in their running, their shorts, and then it just shows the crowd, and I paused it. And that is amazing to me.
Oh, man.
So how I caught it, I just noticed the crowd was much bigger from one scene to another one.
Yeah.
And I looked, and it's all the boys that's participating. They're sitting up there in jeans and sweaters and jackets and shirts on, and they spread them out. But I think I found 9 or 10 or 11 pretty easy.
Wow.
So that's kind of, I guess, you know, they was trying to make it look like a big crowd. And, you know, if you would have never caught that the first time it was run. But I just thought that was interesting. If you get a chance to look at it, and you'll see just about every one of them. It looks like Opie. I'm not sure that's him, but it sure looks like him right in the middle on the front row. And so, but every one of them you can find, maybe one because you can't see exactly all of them, but,
uh-huh.
And of course, Danny Thomas's brother's there, and most of the rest of them I don't recognize, but I thought that was pretty neat that they got them sitting in the crowd, and then they switch scenes and give them time to change, and they're right there.
Wow.
So it's like they're watching themselves, but.
Man.
Well, listen, I know you're probably busy. I just wanted to mention that to you when you get a chance. I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard or seen noticed that before.
Man, that is really cool.
Yeah, it is. If you'll notice, but the stands are half empty, and then when they, while the boys are running down to get their instructions, and then they go, the crowd is full. That's why. But, you know, who would have ever looked at that back then when we, you know, we critique it so much now.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But I just thought that was interesting. And
yeah, that's
odd,
awesome.
But, hey, they were working on a budget and trying to make it.
Yeah, I wonder why they did do that.
I don't know. That's why didn't they just leave the crowd like it was, you know?
Now, that was after they ran. So they ran the race, and then right after it.
Well, here's what they're doing. They show, it goes from the courthouse or Opie's Dreams, I forget, and it shows the next scene is at the track. You know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 lanes.
Right.
And Andy hollers for Barney to blow the whistle. And you see the boys all the way from the starting line up to the medal table scattered out, kind of warming up. And the stands are half empty. You can see the stands and the track. It's an overhead shot.
Yeah.
And then Barney blows the whistle to get them all to come. And then they show the crowd, and it's full of folks. He's called them all. You go from seeing the boys coming around, Andy and Barney. Then the next scene is the bleachers, which are crammed full, and all those boys are sitting in there dressed in street clothes. Huh. And then it's only on there for like 2 seconds or three. Then they're all around Andy, and the seats are half empty from one scene to the other, just in a matter of seconds.
Huh.
That's kind of interesting. And I don't know why they would do that.
Wow.
Unless it's something they were trying both ways. But they got the same guys that's running the track sitting as you know,
sitting up watching it.
Crowd.
Yeah.
Watching. And they're all looking down at the starting line when they're all running towards the table where the medals are.
Huh.
Yeah, you get a chance, look at that and see what you think about it.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
I had never noticed that, and when Kenneth told me about it, I thought, that is really amazing. Now, I'll have pictures of this up on the Facebook.com site, at least where I had gone in, and I was able to find, 6 of the boys. I was able to identify them pretty well in the image. Now, the one that Kenneth said looks kind of like Opie. I don't think it is Opie, because the more I looked, I believe it's another boy that's in the crowd. And I've got arrows pointing at all the boys I could find in the shot. And then I also grabbed their face from another shot and put the boy who I think it might be and pointed at it. And some of them I don't have. I just have an arrow pointing at them because I don't know who they are. But it really turned out that was a train noticer, is what we would call that, for Kenneth Junkin to have spotted that and be able to see those boys, because it's obvious in the scene when it goes from the shot of the entire crowd, then it goes to when you can see Andy and Opie giving the rules and stuff about, you know, Barney's going to tell them about how the gun's going to be shot and you do not run until you hear the shot, you know, that kind of thing. You can see the crowd is way thinner than it is just seconds before, because all those boys are missing. And then there's a shot later on in that same scene where the boys have been out there racing, or they're actually part of the race. And in that shot, you actually see Aunt Bee and some other folks there. Now, there's no kids in that shot, though. It's just the adults. And you can see Aunt Bee and a lady on the front row that you can see her leg. And that lady is not in the original shot, at least not where you can see someone with a skirt on. Everybody else has a coat or something like that, a long coat, all the other ladies. And so I was not able to pick her out on the front row where you can see her later on in the scene. Anyway, so people were moving around a lot in this short little scene from the Andy Griffith Show. But great job to Otis for coming up with these, train noticer things. Now, this, as I remember, as I was telling you last week about the Mayberry trivia, now Kenneth is the one who comes up with trivia. So these are the kind of things he's looking for. But, you know, this one he couldn't use as a trivia contest question. So he gave me a call. He just called me on the phone. And I happened to be sitting here at my desk. And so I was able to click on the recorder and record his conversation with me so that I could use it here on the podcast. So I want to thank Kenneth for that. And I just thought that was really cool. Now, we have got some more information here from feedback from some of you guys. Next up, we're going to hear from Jason. Now, Jason, he was watching an episode of, let's see, A Black Day for Mayberry, I believe is the right name, if I'm getting that right, when the gold truck was going to come through Mayberry. And he noticed something that Barney was looking at. Now, I can't exactly confirm it, but I'll have pictures of this in our Facebook page for this episode as well. So you guys can go and check it out. I did screen captures of what he talked about, and you just can't see it clearly, but he definitely could be right. So let's go ahead and hear what he has to say about this.
Hello, Alan. This is Jason Carter from Rock Hill, South Carolina. I was just watching the episode from season 4 of Mayberry. I know you've already done an episode on it about the two FBI agents, but I noticed something else, that when the two agents are in the courthouse, they won't tell Barney why they want to see Andy. Barney gets all angry and he kind of sits on the desk, kind of on the edge of the desk there, and he picks up what appears to be a phone book. And if you look real close to it, and I paused to look at it, it says Mount Airy on the phone book. And I just, wow, I couldn't believe that's the first time, I believe, and for me anyway, it's the first time I've seen any mention of Mount Airy on the show. But if you want to go back and take a look at that, and you can see it for yourself, just thought it was interesting, and thought you should know about it. Once again, great show. Appreciate everything you do. Have a good day.
Wow, Jason, thanks for that. That's great. I'm glad you called in with that information. Now, I did a screen capture, and like I said, it'll show up in there. And you can see it looks like the book Barney's holding probably says telephone directory in the words at the top. And then it looks like it could very easily say Mount Airy, MountAiry. The number of letters appears to be correct, but it's just so grainy that when you blow it up, you just really can't read it. And if it's small, you certainly can't read it. So I blew it up as much as I could, trying to read it and confirm that he was correct. And I can't confirm it, but it definitely looks right. Now, Jason also talked about, and I couldn't find a screenshot before the show today, and so maybe I'll be able to find one and put it in the pictures for this episode. But he mentioned that was the first time he'd ever noticed Mount Airy in the episodes. Now, there are several episodes, and I can't for the life of me recall, so you guys call in, write in, let me know where they are. So please do that. When Andy is seen reading the Mount Airy paper. Now, I believe at least one time that was when he was waiting on Luke Comstock to come by his house. I believe the paper Andy was reading was the Mount Airy News. And I believe you can see that really clearly in that. But there are several instances throughout the series where Andy was actually holding a copy of the Mount Airy News in his hand. So this is another good reference that I don't remember ever hearing about. So if you had known this or something, let me know, or, you know, confirm it for me about this being the Mayberry or the Mount Airy paper. So Jason, thank you for that call. And I really appreciate it. Now, we got another question here from John Lane. So let's hear from John.
Hey, Alan, it's John Lane from the Goober Says Hey podcast and Gomer Barney Floyd in the chat room on Monday nights. My question is, do you know anything about Andy's autobiography, like when it's going to be coming out or anything? Because, you know, that's been roaming around for a while. And I'm still waiting to figure out, you know, well, I haven't heard anything recently about when it'll be released or anything like that. So I was wondering if you know that kind of thing. So, you know, just, I was hoping you can answer that. If you can't, all right. But you're doing really good, man. Give it up.
All right. Well, thanks, John. Thanks for calling. And, John, it was great to meet you in Mount Airy, North Carolina during Mayberry days. It was good to see you and actually see you in person. That was fun. I do not know anything about Andy's biography. I really kind of thought that would be out after he passed away. I thought it would probably be released, but it hasn't been released yet. So I'm not quite sure when or when they'll be releasing that or not. I just really don't have any insight. And I know somebody who does, but I won't ask because they would not be able to tell me. So since they can't tell me, I don't want to put them in a position of not being able to tell me. So I don't ask the question. So anyway, but I'm looking forward to that as well. So I'm hoping that we all get to see Andy's autobiography sometime in the near future. So I'll let you know as soon as I hear anything, and I'm sure it will be available at weaversdepartmentstore.com. So if you don't get it, head over there and sign up for the newsletter at weaversdepartmentstore.com, and you will be notified, I am sure, as soon as that book starts to become available. All right, so now, folks, I've got, instead of voicemail, I've got a few written messages, comments that we've gotten from some of the listeners. Now, this next one is going to be coming in from, let's see, who is it from? From Philip, and he's writing about Two Chairs No Waiting number 159. That's right, folks. People are actually going back and listening to our older episodes. Isn't that great? This was the Ghost and Mr. Chicken. He goes, attaboy, Alan. So much great info. I saw this in the theater when I was a kid in 1966, and we watch it every Halloween. I still get chills when I hear the organ music, because it was so terrifying when I saw it for the first time. I remember the whole theater screaming when poor Luther was in the house all alone and the organ with blood on the keys started playing all by itself. Taro, Caro, Solomon. Thanks, Philip. That's a great episode. If you guys haven't heard it in a long time, it came out in October, 2 years ago. In kind of an honor of Halloween. So you guys head over there and check it out, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, so you can get some more information about that episode if you'd like to. Let's head over and see here. Next up is Janet, and Janet's wanting to talk about episode number 150, Betty Lynn Interview Part 1. She says, Alan, I loved Part 1 of your interview with Betty Lynn. I've had a special fondness for her for a long time, and I've also often thought that I would like to read a book about her life, but nothing was available. Though I am, of course, quite familiar with her career of Thelma Lou on The Andy Griffith Show. She is one of my favorite characters, by the way. I also enjoy watching her movie performance when she was a very young woman. June Brides is probably my favorite, and Betty seems a natural for the role of Boo Brinker, the teenager who is in love with the boy her older sister plans to marry. Betty has a rather substantial role in that film and does a great job. I've also seen Sitting Pretty, Father Was a Fullback, Cheaper by the Dozen, and Million Dollar Mermaid. I think Betty was just perfect for the role of Thelma Lou on The Andy Griffith Show. And it was a shame that her character was eliminated after Don Knotts left the show. I had the privilege of meeting Betty briefly at a Mayberry event in Newcastle, Indiana. She was so friendly and gracious, even though her hand must have been aching from all the autographs she signed for fans that day. I'm hoping one day to visit Mount Airy and see her again at the Andy Griffith Museum. And I can't wait for part two of your interview. Thank you, Janet. That's great. It's always great. I always enjoy hearing from everybody that they liked or didn't like an episode. And several people have made comments about different episodes. So I'm just picking out some to read on the air. And I try to read as many as I can because they're just a lot of fun. Next, let's go to hear from Jody. And she's talking about part two of Betty Lynn Interview. Now, that was episode number 151. Of Two Chairs No Waiting. So head over there and check that out. She says, Jody says, I thoroughly enjoyed the two Betty Lynn interviews. She's such a sweetheart. I loved her on The Andy Griffith Show, and she had the sweetest smile on that pretty face. She was perfect for Barney and for the part. I used to envy Barney for having such a beautiful, charming, sweet girlfriend. So Jody's a guy. I messed up. I'm a new listener, but a huge fan of the Andy Griffith Show since it first aired. Welcome to the show, and sorry if I said you were a girl and you're a guy. I, too, envied the relationship between Andy and Opie. I had nothing like that with my dad, and some of the episodes still make me cry because they're so beautiful and touching. Now, with Ron Howard's career so amazing and successful, I feel a sense of pride at his accomplishments, as if he was a member of the family. But that's the way I've always felt about the show. It was a wonderful show. I surely in the top three of all time. I agree with you completely. I wanted so bad to be a part of that community, as I'm sure millions of other Americans did. When Andy and Barney sang on the porch in the evenings, I smiled and wanted so bad to be there. Even now, writing this, my eyes begin to water. God bless Betty Lynn, Andy, Opie, Barney, and everybody involved in bringing that wonderful show into my heart. Thank you for the podcast. I will be listening to them all. Thank you, Jody. I appreciate that so much. That means a lot. You know, it's always nice. New folks are still coming and finding the show. Wow. Can't believe it. And Janet also had something to say about part two. I wanted to read this because I thought it was a good one. She says, Alan, I was anxiously awaiting part two of the interview with Betty Lynn, and I was not disappointed. She really has an interesting life story. I wish she would consider writing an autobiography. I would certainly buy it. While listening to your interaction with Betty, I was reminded of the expression I used to hear my mother use. Sometimes she would refer to someone by saying they were, quote, just as common as old shoes. Now, that may seem like a derogatory comment, but it's not. Not at all. Actually, it's a compliment. It means that someone is down to earth and doesn't make him or herself out to be better than others. Someone with an average person who can really relate to and feel comfortable with. I think that describes Betty perfectly. She is a real sweetheart, isn't she? Thanks again. Amen. She is a real sweetheart. Betty is a wonderful, wonderful lady. So thanks. Thanks again for Janet for writing in. Now we're getting a little bit closer towards current. We're heading over to talk about Mayberry tourism. Now this is from, who's this from? This is from Rob. No, wait. Yes. From Rob. And actually it's the Mayberry 2013 report is the next one we're going to talk about. And Rob had this to say. He said, I really enjoyed the freewheeling, no pun intended, format of this podcast. The dialogue between Alan and Ken as you guys shared your Mayberry experiences. Well, thank you so much, Robin. I hope you enjoy this episode as you got to hear from Ken at the beginning as well. Next up is from about Mayberry tourism, and this is from Brian Humphrey. And Brian has this to say. He says, talking about Mayberry tourism, that's just crazy. I don't live there either. But being a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show and Andy Griffith, I think I speak for all of us diehard fans when I say it surely hasn't died down or slowed down. If anything, it's gotten bigger. More people are starting to show interest for the Andy Griffith Show almost daily. Someone comes up to me showing some interest when I talk about the show itself and of my visits to Mount Airy for Mayberry Days. So I have to agree with you. That's true. And finally, we got James. He wrote in and said, I love going to Mount Airy, North Carolina. So that was his comment about Mayberry tourism. Had a lot more comments, folks, and I want to thank you for writing in, and I want to continue to hear from you because you have great comments. And you're right. You know, things like Betty Lynn being a sweetheart, who could argue with that? So, folks, I hope you enjoyed what we had to talk about tonight. We found out about the boys in the race on a medal for Opie setting up in the stands. We found out that more than likely the Mount Airy telephone book was sitting on Andy's desk at the courthouse, and Barney picked it up and was looking at it. And we heard from all these wonderful folks just like you that are listening to this podcast. And I really do appreciate you for listening and being a part of the show. So folks, I want to thank you again. And I would love to be able to hear from all you guys. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com Or you can do like a lot of these folks did and leave comments at twochairsnowaiting.com about the particular episode that you're listening to. Or finally, you can head over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/twochairs and leave comments there. However you want to do it, I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, folks, you guys have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you on Two Chairs No Waiting. Good night, everybody.